Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, my name is Tommy and welcome to Imprint Out Loud. Imprint Out Loud is a ministry of Imprint. Imprint exists to provide trustworthy biblical resources and training to local churches. Now today we will be discussing keeping the gospel central. And to help our discussion, we have Doug Van Meter with us today. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks, Tommy. Good to be here.
Doug serves as a full-time elder at Brekenus Baptist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now the quick guide to the gospel would be the four words that I always refer to as God, man, Christ, response. And I got that from Greg Gilbert. And if you would like a more in-depth study on that, go to our website and watch the YouTube videos on what is the gospel. It's concise, but it gives you the clear message of what the gospel is. Now we know that it is the gospel message that shows people what it means to be saved, how it comes about, and who the role players are in being saved. But practically, I'd like to discuss with you, Doug, just how do we keep the gospel central? And why should we keep the gospel central?
Well, I think we should keep the gospel center. I guess to answer the first question, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What that means is that we don't assume the gospel. We don't assume that people know the gospel. I think that's a huge danger in particularly countries like ours, heavily Christianized. And we just assume that if people are in churches, they understand what the gospel is. But I'm sure if you ask 10 people around the city who just go to church and ask them what the gospel is, you might get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be really careful. We don't just assume the gospel. We don't assume that people know what the gospel is. Therefore, we need to keep it central. We need to keep it central because the gospel is the means by which God saves sinners. It's the means by which he sanctifies saints. So you cannot move outside of the gospel without moving outside of God's plan for the church. I think it was Tim Keller who said that the gospel is not the ABCs of the Christian life, it's the A to Z of the Christian life. And that's vital for a church to keep before them.
The last 2 days, the past 2 days, I had the privilege of doing two membership interviews. And I always love asking that question. If you have 30 seconds or if you can summarize the gospel, just share the gospel with me. And just to see, first of all, if they know what the gospel is, because like you've rightly said, that's what saves us. That's the message that saves us. And it's a good indicator of where they are spiritually, first of all. But it's also to show them where we are, keeping the gospel central of that is what we want, that's what we want to see for you to become a member.
Right.
Obviously, you can't be a member of a church if you're not saved and if you don't know the gospel. So I always enjoy asking that question.
And I think along the line, there's a lot of people who are members of churches who are not saved.
Yeah.
And this guards against that. It's not an infallible guard because you know people still can kind of sneak under the wire. But I think it's vital that we're asking that question up front. So even at Brackenhurst in our membership class, the very first thing we do is, what is the gospel? And in the discipleship, it's, what is the gospel? Because once somebody is in a church, that can be a very, very dangerous position to be in, that you're lost, you think you're saved, and you just kind of merrily roll along.
Yeah,
I think John MacArthur said once that there's a greater problem than no assurance of salvation, and that is false assurance of salvation.
That's a real danger because then you basically think you're going to heaven, but you're not. And just thinking through that as you were talking, that it's everything flows from the gospel. The preaching, the leadership, the membership. You can't have church discipline without the love of the gospel of trying to get the people back that's in sin, or discipleship. Well, why are we even discipling? So Christ is the center of our lives. Hence, we should keep the gospel central. Now, how do we keep the gospel central? And I'd like to break it down in a little bit more practical ways. So how do we keep the gospel central in our lives when it comes to sin?
So I think that's it's vital. So Jerry Bridges wrote a lot about it during his latter 20 years of his life, about the gospel for real life. That was one of the names of one of his books. And he really helped me to see that we need to learn as Christians to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. So I think backing up, you know, what is the gospel? G.I. Packer said the gospel is simply God saves sinners. If you just boil it down to its essential, God saves sinners. How does he do that? He does that by the person and work of Jesus, who lived the perfect life for us. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose from he was buried, and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. So we need to be grounded in that, and that's not just what gets you into the kingdom. So it's vital for justification, obviously. That's what you're believing. You're believing on Christ, who's done all those things. But you're living your life every day in light of that. So as a Christian, you're going to sin. And what we end up doing oftentimes is somebody once said that the gospel is always being crucified between two thieves. The thieves of licentiousness, of license. You can do what you want. The other thief is legalism, that you're earning. And I suspect that most Christians live a life that's deeply entrenched in legalism. That we think that we're accepted by God because we've had a good day. Read our Bible, we prayed, we didn't kick the dog, we're nice to people, and we go to bed that night and say, God's pleased with me, he's accepted me because I had a good day. The next day you don't read your Bible, you don't pray much, you sin in a traffic jam, you go to bed that night thinking God's disappointed with me, I'm not accepted because I've sinned. But if you learn to preach the gospel to yourself, you're saying, as Jerry Bridges pointed out, that even on my worst day, as well as on my best day, I'm accepted in Christ. So a Christian has to be grounded in that gospel. Otherwise, he falls into the trap of thinking, yes, he's been saved because of Christ, but now he's got to keep himself right with God by the way he lives. That's dangerous. And the other side, of course, is licentiousness. And there's a lot of that. Antinomianism is the big word. People are saying, well, I'm saved, therefore I don't need to worry about obeying God. If you understand the gospel, you understand the gospel is about Jesus Christ saving you from your sins, not just from the wrath of God, but from the power of sin every day in our lives. So the gospel drives you to a life of holiness.
It just struck me that the gospel, because of what it is, and we remind ourselves of it daily, that could also help us not to sin, because we are so thankful of what Christ did, that he did die for our sins. So it's not a legalism or antinomianism or licentiousness that you said, but it's actually out of thankfulness that we want to live holy lives, and help us then as a reminder to lead this holy life.
So, you know, Romans 6, Paul says, because that argument says, should we sin so that grace should abound? He said, well, in King James, God forbid. But, it's true. It's true. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones used to say that you know you're really preaching the gospel when you're accused of that very thing. Because you're preaching grace, that it is all of God. But that doesn't make you loose about sin. It makes you hate sin. It makes you want to live for Christ because of gratitude for that saving grace.
And then how do we keep the gospel central in like relationships within the church, or even towards the world, at in a workplace maybe? How do we keep that central in the way we react or live out the gospel in those relationships?
Well, I think it's a matter of preaching the gospel to yourself all the time, so that whether you're in the workplace, whether you're at school, whether you're gathering with believers, that the gospel is always driving your worldview. So that when somebody sins against you, that if you really are constantly feeding on the gospel, you're going to be slow to vengeance.
And show grace.
and you're going to be quick to show grace. Yeah. So I think that's where James speaks about let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak. But what drives all of that? What drives all of that is the fact that God is slow to wrath.
Yeah.
And he showed that in the gospel of saving us from our sins. So the gospel then, if you're always focused on the gospel, that's going to inform every area of your life. And so when you are sinned against, you are willing to forgive. And when you're the sinner in the relationship, you're preaching that gospel, which brings you back to repentance. Because the gospel reminds us of the goodness of God. And what does Paul say in Romans 2? The goodness of God leads us to repentance.
Maybe that you've answered the question with regards to in the church as well, which I appreciate it. But what do you think are the dangers if we do not keep the gospel central?
Well, if you don't keep the gospel central, you'll be guilty of a Christless Christianity. I think it was B.B. Warfield who first kind of coined that phrase and wrote about a Christless Christianity. It might have been Machen, but one of those guys did. And they were just saying that you have a religion, but you no longer have a Savior. Michael Horton has most recently written about a Christless Christianity. And that's his concern, is that if you lose the gospel, then you're really losing Christ. Because Christ is at the heart of the gospel. So if you don't keep the gospel central, you're going to become just a religious moral institution. And probably not very moral for very long.
And that's probably when you start seeing cults like the prophetic movement lately, seeing coming up, because it's all man-centered. It's all about me or the prophet, about him. And a following that he creates, and it's not about Christ and dying to self, taking up your cross and follow the word of God, but it's all about me or what I can get or what you can give me, whether it's the prophet or the member of that cult.
And I think connected to that is, so even in our conservative churches where we say we believe the word of God, we believe the gospel, if you don't keep the gospel central, and maybe we can talk about how you're going to do that, but if we don't keep the gospel central in the church, you can become just a moralistic gathering. And you end up heaping guilt upon people with no way to have that guilt removed.
No hope. Yeah.
So you're telling them, do right. And they're dying, saying, I want to do right, but how do I do right? Or I want to do right, I keep failing. How do I get forgiveness so I can get back into the race?
Yeah.
So if that's all you have is moralism, the church loses its hope, it loses its joy, it becomes by nature man-centered.
I can remember 2 years ago I taught somewhere, and a lady came, and I just taught on the gospel, and a lady afterwards came to me in tears, and she just said that we think that people are ignorant of letting people spray themselves with doom and eating grass and whatever else these guys make them do. But she says it's just because they do not know the gospel. They, like you said, they're looking for hope. They're looking for just getting that burden, like Pilgrim's Progress, that sack of sin off their shoulders. But they don't know, so they do all these things because they're being promised that it's there for them to forgive. But obviously it's empty. Because those guys don't know the gospel. They can't give that hope. They know it's there. You are a sinner, so it's Romans 1. You know that you are, and there's a God that you're going to pay. But they just don't have that joyful good news of the gospel of Jesus is the one that releases you of that guilt. But how can we help each other with this task of keeping the gospel central?
So I think from a pastoral perspective, you have to look for the gospel in all of Scripture. So as I mentioned recently, I'm beginning to study the book of Numbers. I'm going to preach through that expositionally. And read the book of Numbers, you know, it's tough to see the gospel. I was reading today chapters 12 to 18. And it was, okay, where's the gospel in here? And it is. But you gotta locate the essential, which is the fallen condition of man, how man cannot save himself, that our only hope is God. Mm. In the book of Numbers, you see the law which condemns us. How do we escape condemnation? Mm. Our only hope is going to be through the Savior. Mm. So throughout the Bible, you have that we call it biblical theology, this progressive revelation of the gospel.
Golden thread.
So I think wherever you're preaching Scripture, you want to be preaching Christ. And you can't properly preach Christ without preaching the gospel. So I think personally in the opening verses of Genesis 1, is actually pointing us to the gospel, where you have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Mm. And I think Paul picks up on that in 2 Corinthians 4, where he speaks about the light shining out of the darkness into our hearts, showing us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I think Genesis 1 is already laying a foundation for the gospel.
And then you've got the lampstand in the tabernacle that is also featuring John. Jesus is the light.
All the way through. Sorry, you had these metaphors that point us to the gospel. So I think as a pastor, you want to always be bringing people back to that they're fallen, that they're sinners, that they cannot make themselves right with God. God sent His Son to live for us, to die for us, to rise from the dead for us, and our hope is in Him. And one way or the other, it's not a matter of just tacking on a gospel, some gospel points at the end of a message.
Yeah.
But throughout the preaching, you're pointing people to salvation is of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Thanks for that.
And I think added to that, Tommy, is discipleship in the church. Mm. So you're always grounding people in the gospel and one-on-one, reminding people, reading good books about the gospel, talking about the gospel.
Mm. Praying together, because lately I've been really convicted about that is the way of showing your dependence on God. It's just humbling yourself before Him and talking to Him about yourself and for others and about others. So so praying together, reading together,
singing truth together,
partaking in the Lord's Supper regularly, just reminding yourself of the gospel there, encouraging people, each other to join together as a congregation, as a church. That's good. Well, that's all that we have time for. Remember to click on the subscribe button. You can also find us on Facebook at Imprint On, or our website, imprinton.org. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Tommy.
I'm signing off till next time. Take action, read, and learn.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.